Just by way of review, we have 7 Jordan River rules that we've looked at thus far. Rule number 1 was to realize that God means for you to move forward. He desires for you to move forward in that place of spiritual blessing. Jordan River rule number 2 is to say no to discouragement and yes to strength. Jordan River rule number 3, step up to the moment. Jordan River rule number 4, find someone to help along the way. Jordan River rule number 5, expect God to guide you where you have never been before. And then rule number 6, prepare today for God, prepare today for tomorrow's wonders. Then rule number 7, trust God to turn problems into pathways. Tonight we come to the next Jordan River rule, and we find here in this number 8 river rule, build a monument. Build a monument. If you have your Bibles open there before you, look with me if you would at Joshua chapter 4 in verse number 20. Joshua chapter 4 in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." You know, God desires for us to remember. God desires for us to remember. In fact, one of the first 5 books of the Bible is about that very theme. The book of Deuteronomy is written by Moses, and his entire purpose in writing the book is to cause the children of Israel to remember. Even when God placed items in the Ark of the Covenant upon the time frame in which they had finished the Ark, the Bible says that God directed them to put specific things into the Ark that they might be reminded of things. God told them to place the manna in the Ark, and of course that reminds them of God's provision. God told them to place the 10 Commandments in the Ark, and of course that reminded them of God's precepts. And then he also told them to put in there the rod of Aaron, and it was to remind them of God's power. Time and again, God uses different things to remind us of key times and places and events. And as we come to this passage, we understand that our God knows the best path forward. He knew the best path when they had reached the edge of the Red Sea. He knew what he was going to do when he would divide the Red Sea and allow all the children of Israel to pass over on dry ground. Now they've come to the Jordan River, and my Lord knows the way. There's a song that we sing with the children in children's church and sometimes in chapel. And it goes this way, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." Almighty God knew the way for Israel to pass through the Red Sea. Almighty God knew the way for the children of Israel to pass around the land of the Philistines. Almighty God knew the way into the land of promise. And the way into the land of promise was right through the middle of the Jordan River. And upon their exit from the Jordan River, there was a key component that would be a part of this memorial. 12 stones would be taken out of the base of the Jordan River, would be lifted there and set upon the shoreline. And it would be there as a memorial. And we want to look tonight at the nature of this memorial that God had the children of Israel to establish. Notice with me, number 1 tonight, the physical process of setting up the memorial. The physical process of setting up the memorial. Turn back with me, if you would, to verses 1 through 4 of Joshua chapter 4. Now, this is God telling them what they're going to do. And then, of course, in the end of the chapter, we see them fulfilling what God wanted them to do. Now, look with me, if you would, Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. We find here the physical process of setting up this memorial. Boy, I tell you what, if you travel into Washington, D.C., and you consider the nature of the memorials and monuments that we have in this great city, you reflect upon the challenges that would have been there to create these different houses, monuments, and memorials. When you sit and look at the Washington Monument and you take in the nature of the monument and how tall it is, and you hear the history of what transpired as they were building the Washington Monument and the challenges that they had there, it is amazing to hear the stories that were involved with the men that made it possible to build that monument, and the timing that made it possible, and the places from which they got the stone from that they might build that monument. Well, here in our passage, the Bible says that there were some challenges in setting up this memorial. First of all, the Bible tells us that the Levites had to go to the edge of the Jordan River, and at that time, as they came to the edge, the Bible says the waters parted. And the Bible says that the Ark of God went into the middle of the river, and the individuals carrying the Ark of God stayed there until all the people had clean passed over. This is a good bit different from the scenario that we see there in the Red Sea. And the Bible says that Moses lifted up the rod and smote the waters of the Red Sea. And the Bible says they split and all the people passed on dry ground. Now in this setting, as the people have been on this side of the Jordan River and they're going to the other side of the Jordan River, the Bible says the first ones in were those bearing the ark. And they were going to stay there in the middle, demonstrating the presence of God as all of the people would pass over the Jordan River on dry ground. The people passed by the ark and no doubt consider the symbolism of the power of God and the presence of God as it stands there in the middle of the river. And then as everyone is passed over to the other side of the river, and we consider the physical nature and process of establishing this memorial, the Bible says here that Joshua then called the 12 men, and he asked each of those men to go back into the Jordan, back to the very place where the ark and all those Levitical priests stood. And the Bible says that they go back into that very ground, there in the middle of the Jordan, and they choose to themselves 12 stones that they might bring out of the Jordan River. Now, I believe that as you read these verses and you consider them traversing the Jordan River, that this took a great deal of effort. And just a note, there was no memorial set up on the other side of the Red Sea. That was not the place that God wanted them to return to. Keep in mind that this would actually be the first place where they would be able to set up a monument in a place of a more permanent dwelling. No monuments in Egypt, no monuments in the wilderness, no monuments on the other side of Jordan. But God desired to see this time in which the priests enter the river, stand in the middle as all the people cross over. And now they come and take the 12 stones. This is a great deal of effort. But now this memorial will be set up in a place in which Israel has a permanent dwelling. It's interesting to note that the Jordan River provided the entrance into the promised land, and it also blocked the route of escape for their retreat. God had orchestrated for the children of Israel to come to this place and to cross over into His chosen land. He wanted them to be in that place of spiritual blessing, and He did not want them to retreat from anything that He would have before them in the days ahead. The physical nature or physical process of setting up the memorial, it would surely have taken time and effort and yet been very significant. Would you notice number two with me tonight? The purpose of setting up the memorial. The purpose of setting up the memorial. We read further here in Joshua chapter 4, and the Bible says that there was going to be a great deal of effort that would be taken to establish the memorial. The Levites go in, the people cross over, the 12 men come in, they each carry a stone, they bring it out to the shoreline, this place where they will now be encamped. And God says, I want you to set this memorial up because I have a purpose in it. Would you read again with me in Joshua chapter 4 in verse number 5? And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And by the way, I'm so thankful for that wording there. This wasn't just one stone. This wasn't just a couple of stones. This wasn't just select stones based upon select tribes. This was one stone for every tribe, and God desired that every tribe, every person involved in this, would know that they were special to Almighty God. Verse number 6, the Bible says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. We first see the physical process of setting up the memorial, but then we also tonight see the purpose in setting up the memorial. First of all, the Bible declares that it was a reminder to all of those that had crossed over. Can you imagine being in this crowd? Can you imagine being in this volume of people? Can you imagine being at the front of the line? Perhaps tonight you would say that it's your desire to be at the front of the line in different capacities. You say, oh, I want to be in the front of the line because I want the place or the best seat or the best location for what we're about to do. And you'd say, I want to be at the front of the line. Perhaps there are some tonight that would think about those that were in the middle. And they think to themselves, boy, I wonder how everybody's done that's crossed over this far, thus far. But then I think about those that are at the back. Can you imagine being at the back of this vast line as they cross over the Jordan? And thinking to yourselves, oh my goodness, we're at the back. I sure hope that everything continues on as it is, and that God holds back the waters, and that we're able to cross over safely. Can you imagine being at the back? Can you imagine being last? Can you imagine being the last one? And you're the last one that enters from this side of the Jordan, crosses over, walks by the ark of God, and then finishes out on the other side. This was to be a reminder of all of those that had crossed on that day. I was there for that day of victory. You know, it's interesting that we read that there was indication there in verse number 23 of chapter 4 that as Joshua and Caleb would cross the Jordan, that they were at that time able to reflect on what God had done at the Red Sea. Look at verse number 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. Here it is. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us. Now it's been 40 years since God dried up the Red Sea, but it was a significant event for Caleb and for Joshua to remember that time and now to see God still at work and still accomplishing great things. It was a reminder to all of those that had crossed. You know, it's a very significant thing for us here in our country. We were talking this past Sunday morning in our young adult class and reflecting on Monday's date, June the 6th, and the anniversary of the D-Day, and reflecting on our many veterans that sacrificed so much. We were reflecting on Pearl Harbor and how so many of these veterans that were serving there at Pearl Harbor have now passed away. And then so many more that served in the D-Day invasion, and now that generation is passing away. We fast forward from World War II, and the next significant event would be probably that of our Korean War and our Korean War veterans. And that generation will now speak to what they did in fighting for freedom here in our world. But I tell you what, these monuments that have been established, whether it be the monument there at Pearl Harbor, or the monument at Normandy, the monuments that are set up in the locations where individuals have been buried, and these monuments have been placed there, and so many of our veterans that have served to keep our nation free would walk back into that arena, and all of those memories would no doubt come flooding back to them. And though it's been so many years, and though so much time has passed, no doubt many of them can still sense the smell of what they smelled in those days, what they heard in those days, what they saw in those days. And I'm confident that God desired for these 12 stones to be a reminder for all those that were a part of this great miracle. I was there on that day when the Ark of God first hit the edge of the Jordan, and the soles of the feet of those Levites carrying the Ark hit the Jordan, and God parted it. Can you imagine the youngster, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the individual that was the last one to pass over, and how he would be reminded when he'd see these 12 stones, he'd be reminded of the miracle that God wrought. I believe it was a reminder to all those that crossed and saw firsthand the miracle of God. But then we also see that it was to be a reminder or a storyteller for the generations that would follow. And the Bible tells us here in this passage, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Boy, can you imagine taking your youngster down to the edge of the Jordan River as it would swell through the nature of the year and the nature of the seasons of the year? Can you imagine bringing your child down, or perhaps your grandchild? And they weren't a part of that crossing. They weren't involved with the nature of that special, miraculous day. And they come to those 12 stones and they say, Granddad, why are these 12 stones here? And perhaps the granddad would then begin to reflect, because he was perhaps one of the 12. That when everyone else had crossed over the Jordan River, he was one of the 12 that went back in on behalf of his tribe and picked up a stone and carried it out. And perhaps he would tell his grandchild or great-grandchild, do you see that stone? Your granddad pulled that out of the center of that river. You say, Granddad, how is that possible? I mean, this river is swelled. This river is overflowing. There's no way that you could have gotten down into that river. And that grandfather, perhaps that father, perhaps that great-grandfather would say something like this to his to the generation that was to come, kids, God did a miracle that day. And God held back the water so that we all passed over on dry ground. What is the purpose of this memorial? I believe it's a reminder to all those that crossed and saw the miracle firsthand. I believe it was also a storyteller for the generations that would follow. In Exodus chapter 12, we're reminded of the day of Passover. And when God sent the Passover angel and brought judgment upon the land of Egypt, God reminded all the children of Israel that they were going to be recognizing that day for generations to come. Why? Because He wanted them to remember the significance of what happened in each of those houses that had the blood over the doorpost and the blood on the sidepost. And He wanted them to remember the nature of that deliverance from the land of Egypt. Well, this was the new generation. This was a new generation, and though this new generation was not a part of that time, but they would celebrate it year by year, this generation couldn't go back to the sideposts and the doorposts, but this generation could come back to the 12 stones. And they would know full well that the same God that brought deliverance in Egypt is the same God that was still at work in bringing deliverance across the Jordan River into the land of promise. But we see a third thing tonight, not only the reminder of those that crossed and a storyteller for the generations that would follow, but then notice verse number 24 with me. The Bible says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know, there are many things that God has ordained and orchestrated that remind us of His great power. So many statements that have been made by folks, and they've been written down in marble, and we reflect on those great statements. So many of the things that were a part of our founding as a nation, and how they recorded so many things about our great Creator in our founding documents. You might say it's written in iron pen. It's written with great assurance that the God that was on the throne in the book of Exodus and bringing deliverance for the children of Israel out of Egypt is the God that is on the throne when they cross the Jordan River, is the same God that's on the throne in the establishment of this great nation. And He says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. And there are so many different ways in which God has left us signs of His great power. And He desires to direct all of us to a relationship with our Creator, that all the people of the earth might know. I want you to see a third thing with me tonight. And I believe that this is important for us now in our day in 2022. There's a physical process that was involved in setting up that memorial, just like there's a process in setting up memorials today. There's effort that has to be put forth. But somewhere along the lines, they believe it to be important. They believe it to be significant, something for us to remember. There is a physical process. There is a purpose in setting up the memorials. But I want you to see some things that can be done even in our day. And that is number three, the place of personal memorials. The place of personal memorials. Now, I want to make clear tonight that we don't remember for the purpose of our own glory or for the purpose of spending time thinking and pondering our own defeat. But there are lessons from times of victory. And God does want us to learn from these things. I think of places of victory. I think of a plate that is in Worms, Germany, where Martin Luther stood and defied the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church had put out their dogma, and Martin Luther dared to stand against the dogma of the Roman Catholic Church. And there's a plate that is there, and it's the location where he stood and defied and declared that he stood there because he could not do anything else but stand on his conscience as it was in reading the Word of God. I've already mentioned the nature of memorials and things that have been established to remind us of the victories that our soldiers, sailors, marines, and airmen, the many times that they've won great victories. I'm reminded of that place that is listed in the Scriptures. It's called the place of the skull, and it's the location where the Lord Jesus Christ died. And on that place, He won the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. There are locations or places of victory. And perhaps we travel to those places and then think on the victories as they have been won. There are positive memories in those places of victory. But then I'm also reminded of scars that have come, and in all likelihood they've come to so many of us. And we reflect on what took place and what was involved in making that scar. Different times as a child growing up, I was involved in different events that did not go very well for me. And so I had an encounter with a dog when I was in my young years, and the dog got the better of me, and I had to have a number of stitches because of what that dog did. There was an occasion in which I was playing tennis right here on Seidenstricker, and my brother and I were playing tennis, and we were waiting on a tennis court here, and while we were waiting, we decided to hit the tennis ball up against the practice wall. And I remember very well, at the age of 15 years old, I dropped the tennis ball on the ground, and it bounced up, and I hit it against the wall, and my brother had a beautiful backhand, and he backhanded that ball and that racket right into my nose. And he broke my nose, he caused stitches in my nose, and he said he didn't mean to do it, but it's always suspicious, because it is your brother. Boy, it caused a scar. It caused a personal reminder into a difficult event. No doubt there are people tonight that would say, "Pastor, I have some of those difficult scars. I have some of those difficult things in my past," and perhaps there's a physical representation of it, perhaps there's a mental representation, but tonight you'd say, "You know, Pastor, I've been through a difficult time, and I'm reminded again and again of that time." Again, I don't believe that it's there for us to sulk. I don't believe that it's there for us to spend all of our time living in defeat. I believe that God gives those kinds of things to remind us to be a help to someone else that will come along on the same path. Perhaps your life has been ravaged by a terrible addiction. You say, "Pastor, I bear in my body some of the marks of what came as a result of that addiction." I'm reminded tonight as well of the song that Gabrielle Page sang this past Sunday night. And just speaking to the fact that when we pass a certain way, that we leave a well in that location, that it might be a blessing to someone else. And while God doesn't want me to glory in sin, and God doesn't want me to glory in the poor choices and bad habits that I might have made in the past or might have had in the past, the fact of the matter is that sometimes those scars are visible reminders of choices that we've made, perhaps walking away from Almighty God. And God is going to use that as a reminder that you might be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Perhaps someone else is walking on that path, and you've already been down that path yourself. and you're able to give them through that memorial, if you would, you're able to give them encouragement. You're able to give them something to go along the way. Yes, there are many memorials that have been set up as places of victory, but there are also some of those scars that teach us. It's just the nature of scars we learn from what has transpired in the past. And I want to tonight, in my closing, just give you a couple of ideas for things that you can do right now in leaving a memorial for other people. There's going to be someone that will walk the way that you're walking. Someone that will go the path that you're on. And there's a way that you can encourage the coming generation, the coming group that might follow your path. The first thing that I think any one of us can do is to leave a written testimony of how God saved you and how He has directed your life. You can sit down, maybe take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but you can sit down and for your children and your grandchildren, you can tell them exactly what took place when God saved your soul. It may be that those children or grandchildren don't immediately read it, but perhaps in the time frame in which you are headed into eternity and on your way home to heaven, the children or grandchildren pick up that testimony as they remember your life and perhaps have been there in celebration of your life. And they're able to take that document and sit and digest what you are conveying to them. I remember a dear man down in East Tennessee. He had written out about 4 or 5 pages for me to read at his funeral service. It wasn't much for me to preach the rest of the message because he preached his funeral in what he had written and recorded. And I tell you tonight that this could be a challenge for each one of us to just put in writing what God did when He saved us and how He directed our life. Another thing I think that you can do, and I think this is a very easy way to leave a memorial, is to leave a Bible behind for generations to come. I don't know that I can say that this was really planned, but I have, through the process of the last several decades and family members that have gone home to be with the Lord, I've requested one of their Bibles in their home going. And so I have Bibles from great-grandparents, and I have Bibles from great-aunts and uncles. I have Bibles from my grandparents. And boy, when you open up that Bible and see the long list of notes that they took, and it's exciting to me to see how through each generation they were saying the same thing about Jesus and His work of salvation and Jesus and His work as they served Him. And I've got those Bibles on my shelf, and it is an encouragement to me to know that down through the generations, each one of these people have desired that their coming children and grandchildren might know the truth of Jesus Christ. On Mother's Day, I love to read from my grandmother's Bible and take in her many notes. On Veterans Day or Memorial Day, I love to take in the Bible that I have from my great uncle that served and died in World War II. You take in the notes that he wrote. I'm so thankful for generations that have loved the Word of God and that have followed the Word of God and that have now passed down their written notes in a Bible. And let me encourage you tonight to take that opportunity and perhaps pass a Bible or two on to the coming generations. And then number 3, if I could encourage you this way, if you have children and or grandchildren, help them to create something of their own that would be a constant reminder of God's working in their life. In our home growing up, my folks directed us to have our own spiritual notebook. And in that spiritual notebook, we had a section that detailed when we trusted Christ and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. We had another section that was for prayer requests, and we'd write down our prayer requests, and then we'd write down the time frame in which those prayer requests were answered. You can take time to have your children establish, your grandchildren establish, their own spiritual notebook. Why? Because we want to pass down the memorials of God's hand at work. And just like the generation that saw the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea, now it's passed to the generation. And instead of just hearing about what God did, they're now seeing what God will continue to do. And so if you can imagine with me tonight, those great men being called together by Joshua and going back down into the Jordan River and pulling out these great boulders. And yes, it took a good deal of effort, but it was for the purpose of reminding them what happened when they crossed over. It was for the purpose of reminding coming generations of how they crossed over, how the miraculous hand of God worked. And it was a reminder for everyone else that would come, that the whole world may know that Jehovah is on the throne and that He is King and Lord. I not only want to lay out reminders for myself, reminders through great victories and even through difficult scars. If there's a path that I desire for the coming generation to take, then by all means, I want to set the reflectors out so they choose that same course. If there's a path that I've taken that I'm not proud about and I recognize is very detrimental, then I certainly want to warn the coming generation. I'm not looking to glory in sin, but I recognize that there are scars that have been given, reminders of days gone by in which perhaps I did not please the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, even here in this year, 2022, there are things that you can do to set up memorials for God's mighty hand and how He has worked. 12 stones taken out of the bed of the Jordan River, set up there that coming generations might know that there's a God in heaven and He loves each one of you. Let's pray. Father, thank You so very much for Your hand of protection upon our people. Thank You so very much for delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. Thank You for that Passover lamb and the blood that was shed and put upon the doorposts and the sideposts, the reminder of the Passover every year. Thank You for the parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance that was brought when You destroyed the Egyptian army and delivered Israel. But now they've moved to this place of seeking that place that God had promised and the land of blessing. And they cross over, and this is now the place for them to establish a memorial. And one from each tribe goes and takes a stone and reminds people of what God can do. I pray that we would remember all that God has done for us, not as though it would bring about any vain glory in any one of us, but that it would point us to His greatness, and that we give all glory and praise unto Him. Lord, help us to find ways that we can help our children establish memorials in their own lives, and to see things that they can look back at, even from a young age. Perhaps a spiritual notebook, and they take notes and see God's hand at work time and again. Boy, don't let us as parents or grandparents or even great-grandparents allow time to pass in which we allow the coming generation to think that God is diminished one bit. There's some tragic words that have been recorded in Judges chapter 2. There arose a generation which knew not the Lord. And I pray that would not be true with the kids that are being brought up in our midst and in our ministry. I pray that at every turn that they'd see the greatness of our God. And they'd realize that that God is very personal and wants to save them and direct their life while He has them here on this earth. Thank You so very much for these dear folks that have joined in tonight. We pray Your hand of blessing upon each one. We pray that we're able to meet together in the coming Lord's Day. Would you bless and guide? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us here tonight in our FBT live stream. We pray that God would bless and direct in the remaining part of your week and use you in the harvest field. Thank you and good night.